Let us pray. God, may we hear your words, thy word, that it may become a part of us and a part of the way we live our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you. Amen. Amen. The first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 34. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them the commandment that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's a lot going on in today's Matthew's passage. We have Jesus glowing, we have his clothing blinding, the presence of Moses and Elijah, the voice of God, and Jesus calming the disciples and instructing them to say nothing. I'll get to my main point shortly, but here are a few things about the rest of the passage. You may want to follow along in the Pew Bible on page 18 of the New Testament. And this is Matthew 17, 1-9. Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the mountain to pray. This wasn't unusual for Jesus. In the scriptures, he often went away to pray. He usually went to desolate places, or at least deserted places. This time, he took his inner circle of disciples with him, the same group of disciples who later will go with him to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. So this is not unusual, and we do see links to Christ's coming resurrection. Then Jesus is transfigured. He glows like the sun, and his clothes turn white. I'll get back to the glowing later. But the garments were dazzling white as light. White garments appear in only a few other places in the Bible, on God's messengers, on angels, and notably worn by the angel at the empty tomb, who tells the women that Christ is no longer there. White garments were relatively rare at the time and took a lot of work to make and keep white, so they are distinctive. So Moses and Elijah, both of these men, had encounters with God on Mount Sinai. Some scholars believe that Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. This shows that the progression of God's word to God's people comes from Moses and the law, goes through the prophets, and finally comes to God's Son. And Elijah himself had an unusual exit from the earth, being taken to heaven without appearing to die, which is why some people at the time believed that Jesus was really Elijah returned. And the tents. The Israelites at the time understood God's place in the world as one single place. At first it was the mountain where Moses went alone. Then it was in the tent of meeting with Moses. Then it was in the tabernacle around the Ark of the Covenant, which was created by God's command. Then it was in the temple in Jerusalem. There was a specific place to meet with God. Jesus changed that, and now we know that God is everywhere. So it was a natural impulse of Peter's to build tents at the site, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. But Peter never got to finish talking about his idea for tents. God spoke from the cloud and said, "This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased." These are exactly the same words that were spoken at Jesus' baptism. And God adds, "Listen to him." God spoke from a cloud, just like with the Israelites and with Moses. This is where Jesus is distinguished from Moses and from Elijah, because Jesus is not just a favored human like Moses or Elijah. He is fully human and fully God. He is God's son. He is different, and he is pleasing to God, and we are to listen to his words. So this scared the wits out of the disciples. And they fell to the ground, and they were absolutely terrified. But Jesus came to them and touched them, a human touch, and told them not to be afraid, a divine healing. And things were back to normal when they looked up. And then Christ told them not to mention this to anybody else. And this follows a pattern, especially in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus does not want his whole story told until it is indeed whole, until he is resurrected. Okay, so that's the background. We have a highly supernatural event that confirms Jesus as Messiah and Son of God. So what's with the glowing? Who else glows? So we'll start with Moses. Moses encounters God several times on the mountain. Moses is unable to look on the appearance of God, though he does convince God to give him a glimpse of God's back just before the Exodus passage that I read above, which is when Moses receives and delivers the tables of the Ten Commandments. Moses has been favored by God for a long time and has been speaking with God. And now Moses is in the presence of God, and the presence of God causes Moses' face to shine. The shining is so powerful that Moses covers his face with a veil between talks with God because it was frightening to the Israelites. The shining of Moses' face is lasting. The encounter with God leaves something behind within Moses. And Jesus is shining in this passage. Jesus has more than just the presence of God. Jesus is part of God. God is within Jesus. Jesus shines and shows that important difference to the disciples. Unlike the Israelites who were afraid, the disciples are pleased and get ready to make tents to mark the occasion. And then later, Stephen, who is one of the first deacons and strong with faith, is said to shine when he testifies in front of the council. And we also have the Aaronic blessing taught by God through Moses to Aaron and his descendants. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So this is an audience participation sermon. And I have a question for all of you, and I'm looking for answers. Who else do we talk about as glowing? What types of people, what groups of people?
Happy people.
Happy people. That's a good one.
Pregnant women.
Pregnant women. Yep, that was the first one I thought of. What was the last one? Babies?
Yes.
Yeah, babies, children. I have that too.
Loves. Young loves.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have a sort of a general happy people category. There's a couple of others. Brides. I've heard of brides being mentioned as glowing. And spiritual people. And I'm not talking so much about the pastors, but the people who are known to be very spiritual. And there's some theory that they are actually more relaxed and more healthy, and they have better blood flow to their face, which might explain their glow. And another interesting one is, so I'm a hospice chaplain, which means I see people near the end of their lives all the time. And I found that there is something undefined that I can see. I can go in and I know that somebody is very close and is close to God and is close to their last day. I have never been able to figure out exactly what I'm seeing, but our social worker, Fiona, she says that dying people glow, and that's how she can tell. So it's a holy moment. Actually, all of these are holy moments. We have birth, we have marriage, we have generally happy people, and death. And these are all very holy moments. So I honestly believe that all people shine. So we're going to try an experiment. Everybody put your head down. Now think about something that lights you up. A happy memory, something important to you, or something that you do for fun. Whatever puts a smile on your face. Okay, I see some smiles, that's good. Everybody got it? Okay, now look up. Whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Okay. Okay, that's better. Except these are not prescriptions. So those are bright, smiling faces. Now turn to each other. Let everybody see your glow. There you go. So we all shine. And Pastor Jeff talked about that last week. He mentioned sharing the light. He talked about the two ways to share the light that we have, sharing needs with others and sharing God's story with others, and not putting your light under a bushel basket and all of that. We all have that light to shine. So it turns out people really do shine. In 2009, scientists in Japan did an experiment. They took an extremely sensitive camera, one that can count individual photons, individual pieces of light, and they put it in a completely dark room, and then they had men with their shirts off so we could see the skin of their chest as well, sit in the room for 20 minutes every 3 hours, and they measured the photons that came off of them. And what they discovered is that people really do emit light from their skin, especially from the face. It varies a little by time of day, and late afternoon is the brightest. And it's a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of light. It's 1,000 times less than our eyes can detect, but it's there. And each of us is made in the image of God. Each of us has been touched by God at our creation. I think that light that we have, that light that is showing ever so faintly, is that little bit of God within each of us. All of us shine, and all of us can shine and show that light to others, and we can share God's light. So here in the text, we see Jesus glowing, not just glowing, but glowing so much that his entire body and all of his clothes are glowing as well. And it's so bright that it's hard to look at. We've been talking about the season of Epiphany, and in that season, we learn that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ is God's Son. This event, this mountaintop experience, this is God's proof that Jesus is Christ. This is God's proof that the world has changed forever. This is God's proof that the old ways are gone and the new is coming. This is God's proof that Jesus isn't just a man, but is something more than a man, that Jesus is divine as well as human. Jesus' transcendence is shown to just a few disciples, and God follows it up with a spoken affirmation, one that matches the affirmation heard at Jesus' baptism. Now, Lent starts this Wednesday coming up with Ash Wednesday. And anybody who would like to attend a service and receive ashes, on the website, we have a couple of suggestions. Trinity Episcopal and Hopewell Methodist are holding services. And in Lent, we will begin to reflect on Christ's death and what it means for us to prepare and to reflect on our character. It's a time that we tend to concentrate on flaws, on things that we have done or not done that may distance us from God. And that's all very important to understanding Lent. But don't forget, the light will return on Easter. Jesus is risen. We are creatures with darkness within us, but also with light within us. So much light that we shine. So remember to shine, remember to glow, remember to keep our light out from under the baskets, to share God's light with each other. Amen.